Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook, facebook.com/radiodetectives. You can pick up my ebooks, All I Needed to Know, I Learned from Columbo, and All I Needed to Know, I Learned from Dragnet, in any ebook store or as a download through audible.com or the iTunes store. In these books, I take a look at the histories and careers of seven great fictional detectives or policemen and life lessons that can be learned from their careers. You can pick these up at any fine ebook store or along with all my other books, audiobooks, and ebooks at store.greatdetectives.net. Well, now it's time for today's episode of Inspector Thorne. The original air date, September the 20th, 1951, and this is the Empty Ashtray Murder Case.
And now the National Broadcasting Company presents Inspector Thorne in the Empty Ashtray Murder Case. Tonight, the National Broadcasting Company presents the exploits of the spectacular young Inspector Thorne of the Homicide Bureau, whose investigations rank with many of the most celebrated ones in the annals of the crime fiction. An investigator is smart enough to claim he is dumb, and modest enough to believe it. Tonight, Inspector Thorne turns to the Empty Ashtray Murder Case. The scene opens in the library of a lavish estate. Hortense Tremont, a fabulously wealthy spinster, is looking through the contents of her wall safe. Then, as the door opens behind her, she turns, and we hear her say the words that foreshadow violence and murder.
Oh, it's you. What do you want now? Well, answer me. Why are you looking at me so strangely? Stop! You! Oh, you're choking me! Help!
And now we see the spectacular young Inspector Thorne of Homicide taking charge. With his right-hand man, Sergeant Muggan, at his side, Inspector Thorne stands in the doorway of the Tremont estate and questions Hortense Tremont's brother, Barrett.
Do I understand you to say that this estate belonged to your sister, Hortense, Mr. Tremont, but she did not live here?
That's right, Inspector Thorne. My poor sister preferred to live at a suite in a hotel.
And she gave this house to you?
Not gave. Allowed us to live in it.
Us? Mr. Tremont?
My daughter Jennifer and her husband, Ted Reynolds, lives here with me. Jennifer's resting, Inspector Thorne. This tragedy has upset her deeply.
Yes, well, I'd like to see the body. I know this is very difficult, Mr. Tremont, but if you'd be so kind as to show Sergeant Muggett and me the scene of the crime...
Of course. If you'll come outside with me.
Outside?
Why, yes. I thought I told you that when I called. But I was so upset. You see, I went out for a stroll before dinner, and right outside the gate, I saw Hortense lying under the hedge.
You went down this path, the one we're using now?
Yes. This is the back entrance, the one Hortense always came through. And right there, to the left of the gate, that's where she is, Inspector Thorne.
Well, thank you. You may go back to the house now, Mr. Tremont. Tell the others I want to speak to them,
please. All right, Inspector Thorne.
There she is over there, Chief.
Yes, Sergeant Muggan, crumpled up under the hedge.
Laying on her face that way, she doesn't look any 60 years old.
She's very short. Interesting.
Yeah, strangled, all right. Just like her brother Barrett said.
There's something strange here, Muggan. Can you lift her up just a bit?
She's a lot heavier than you'd imagine.
All right, Muggan.
Well, what do you think, Chief?
I think there's a very good chance she wasn't murdered on this spot at all.
How's that?
Did you notice the front of her coat, all full of twigs and leaves?
Sure, but it's what you'd expect out here under the hedges.
That's right, Muggan. That is what you'd expect. And even if she is lying face down, wouldn't you expect to find some twigs on the back of her coat, too?
I see what you mean. It's clean as a whistle.
Even if she only struggled slightly. And there was a struggle. Look at her hair and the marks on her face. She should have gotten some twigs or leaves on the back of her coat. Look at all the overhanging branches here.
So you think she was killed someplace else, then brought out here?
I think there's a good possibility of that, Muggin.
Say, here's a pocketbook, Chief.
Let me see that. Maybe there's some clues.
Find anything, Chief?
Perhaps, Muggin, yes. Here's a list which seems to be the contents of a safe, and the combination of a safe also. Stay here with the body, Muggin, until the boys arrive. I'm going back to the house to speak to Barrett Tremont once more. Mr. Tremont, you say you and your sister Hortense were on good terms?
That's right.
And yet she didn't live in the same house with you.
Inspector Thorne, let me explain about my sister.
Well, what is there to explain?
Hortense was 60, a spinster, and very wealthy.
Now, I know all that.
She was an odd woman, extremely nervous, a chain smoker, Inspector Thorne.
I suppose you're trying to say she was an irritable, unsocial person.
She liked living alone, and this estate was much too big for one person. That's why she allowed me and my children to use it while she stayed at a hotel.
Oh, Mr. Tremont, if your sister was so unsociable, why did she come to visit you today?
It wasn't exactly a visit, Inspector Thorne. You might call it more of a tour of inspection.
Oh, and what was she inspecting?
Today it was the wall safe in the library. She kept a number of her valuables there.
Mostly jewelry?
I'm afraid I wouldn't know what was in that safe. My sister wasn't one to confide in people.
No, but you're her brother. You got along well, you say?
As well as anyone could get along with Hortense. I bore her no ill will, Inspector Thorne. I understood her.
Your sister was a very wealthy woman, Mr. Tremont. Where did she make her money?
She inherited it from our father.
And you? Didn't you inherit any?
We inherited equal amounts. But I'm not as careful of my money as my sister was, Inspector Thorne. My share of the inheritance vanished long ago.
All of it?
I'm afraid so.
Well, then how do you keep up this big estate? Do your daughter or her husband have money?
Not that kind of money. My son-in-law Ted's a stockbroker, but not one of the really successful ones.
Well, in that case, Mr. Tremont, who paid the bills?
My sister, Hortense. After all, we are her only relatives.
Well, then you now inherit all her money.
My daughter, Jennifer, and I share it equally.
Mr. Tremont, just what time did your sister Hortense arrive for her tour of inspection?
It was around 4 o'clock.
And she visited with all of you for a while?
No. I'm the only one who spoke to her. She came in one of her bad moods, said she wanted to check her wall safe in the library, and didn't want to be disturbed.
And then?
It was almost exactly an hour later that she left. I looked at the clock when she slammed the door.
Did you speak to her as she was leaving?
No. No, I was in my room, reading. I heard her slam the door, and I looked out. My room faces the back of the house, and so I saw her walking away down the path.
You're sure of that, Mr. Tremont?
Of course.
And when did you find her body?
About 15 minutes later. I decided to go out for a walk before changing for dinner. I called you right after I found her, Inspector Thorne.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that'd make the time element about right. Your call came into headquarters at 5:22.
Naturally. Every word I have told you is the absolute truth.
I hope so, for your sake, Mr. Tremont. What was that?
Oh, it came from the kitchen. Out this way.
Help! Oh, somebody please help.
Wendy? Wendy, what happened?
Oh, I was trying to reach the tea canister up there, and I guess I'm too short. Everything fell on me. Oh, I think I hurt my ankle.
Let me see. Does that hurt?
A little.
No bones broken, I'd say.
Feels better already. Oh, I guess I was more scared than anything. All those canisters and dishes falling on me. Would one of you reach down the tea canister, please?
I'm afraid I'm too short, Wendy.
Here it is. Wendy?
That's right. Wendy Stevens.
Oh, excuse me, Wendy. This is Inspector Thorne of Homicide. Wendy's a friend of my daughter's, Inspector.
I'm making this tea for Jennifer. The poor dear is so upset, I thought some tea might help.
Just when did you arrive, Wendy?
I don't understand what you mean.
Wendy's been here all afternoon. I forgot to mention it before we've been so upset, Inspector Thorne.
Oh, then you were here when Hortense Tremont arrived and when she left.
Oh, yes, I saw her leave from the living room window. I was in there playing records and I heard the door slam. I looked out and there she went, storming off as usual.
You knew Hortense Tremont?
I used to work for her, Inspector Thorne.
Oh.
That's how I met Jennifer. And Jennifer and I have remained friends, even after I left her aunt's employ.
Well, just what sort of work did you do for the murdered woman, Wendy?
I was her social secretary. Handled all her mail. Took care of all sorts of odds and ends.
Well, how long is it since you left the job, Wendy?
6 weeks. I know it isn't nice to speak ill of the dead, Inspector Thorne, but she wasn't a very pleasant person to work for.
Oh, what happened between you two?
She was always complaining, blaming me for things I couldn't possibly have done. I took it for 3 months, and then I left.
My sister was a difficult woman, Inspector Thorne, as I told you.
Where are you working now, Wendy?
Nowhere yet. I want to be sure my next job's a good one.
Inspector Thorne, I left the homicide boys with the body.
Good, Sergeant Muggan.
Well, I'd better make that tea for Jennifer. She and Ted will begin to wonder what happened to me.
Is Ted Reynolds upstairs with his wife?
Yes. She's very upset, Inspector Thorne.
When you bring the tea upstairs, would you tell Ted Reynolds I'd like to see him in the library?
Yes, Inspector.
Mr. Tremont, would you direct us to the library, please? I think Sergeant Muggan and I'd better examine it.
It's this way, Inspector Thorne. Down this hall and right round that corner.
Thank you, Mr. Tremont. Sergeant Muggan and I will be able to locate it, I'm sure. You realize, of course, you're not to leave the ground.
I understand. And I'm most happy to cooperate.
They're always so happy to cooperate, they say.
This must be the library. Try the door, Muggan.
This is it, Chief. Plenty of books around.
Yes, and a wall safe behind this picture.
Say, that list you found in the murdered woman's pocketbook. Do you think it's the combination to this safe?
We'll know in a minute, Muggan. 54 right, 21 left, 17. Ah, that does it.
Brother, look at all that jewelry.
Here's the list, Muggan. See if everything's still in the safe.
Okay, Chief.
You know, this is a very clean room. Doesn't look as if anyone was here lately at all. No cigarette butts or even ashes in the ashtrays. The carpet smooth as can be.
Inspector Thorne.
Yes, what is it, Mung?
This list doesn't check. There's a pin, two pairs of earrings, and a necklace on the list that aren't anywhere in the safe.
Hmm. Had the boys make a thorough search of the house, Muggan.
I'll tell them right now.
Wait a minute, Muggan. I think I found something.
You mean that spot on the carpet, the burn spot?
Right at the burn spot, I found these, hidden in the nap of the carpet.
Little pieces of cigarette tobacco.
Fresh tobacco, Muggin. Someone vacuumed this carpet very recently, but missed up on these few small pieces of cigarette tobacco.
And you think someone's trying to hide evidence?
I think the murder was committed right on this spot, Muggin.
Here?
Yes. I think it was committed a few minutes after Hortense Tremont entered this house.
Yeah, but she stayed here an hour.
That's not what the evidence says. Hortense Tremont's brother, Barrett, told me that she was a chain smoker.
And the ashtrays are empty. She couldn't have been here an hour.
It's more likely she was here a few minutes, smoking her first cigarette when the murderer came in.
That's the cigarette that made the burn. She dropped it when she was fighting with him or her.
That's right, Muggan. And then her murderer carefully removed the cigarette and the scuff marks from the carpet to make us think Hortense Tremont was killed outside.
I'll get it, Chief.
Yeah, are you Inspector Thorne? I'm Ted Reynolds.
I'm Sergeant Muggan. There's Inspector Thorne right there.
Come in, please, Mr. Reynolds.
I'll go put the boys on that job, Chief.
Thank you, Sergeant Muggan.
Wendy Stevens said you wanted to see me.
Yes, Mr. Reynolds, I understand your wife, Jennifer, inherits half of her aunt's fortune.
That's right, Inspector Thorne. But if you're trying to suggest that Jennifer would ever harm her aunt or anyone, you couldn't be more mistaken.
I haven't suggested anything, Mr. Reynolds.
Well, it was pretty obvious what you were getting at.
You also share in your wife's good fortune, of course.
That's right. But believe me, even if I wasn't too crazy about Jennifer's Aunt Hortense, still the idea of her being murdered, that's pretty hard to take.
You have my sympathy, Mr. Reynolds. I understand you're a stockbroker.
That's right, Inspector Thorne. And I make enough to support my wife and myself. I don't have to kill for money.
Enough to support an estate like this?
No, but we don't have to live on an estate. We were just doing it as a favor to Jennifer's father. Barrett Tremont wouldn't be happy living any other way.
Oh, then this was all his idea.
Yes, he didn't mind living off his sister Hortense, much as he hated her.
Hated her?
Well, I thought you talked to him. Didn't he?
Didn't he what?
Nothing, Inspector.
You'd better tell me what you had in mind, Mr. Reynolds. I'm no genius, but sooner or later, I get the facts.
Well, it's nothing very important, really, just that Barrett Tremont always claimed that his sister Hortense cheated him out of his share of their father's estate.
I see. Mr. Reynolds, were you with your wife when your Aunt Hortense left the house this afternoon?
Well, not exactly. I'd been with her most of the afternoon, but After Aunt Hortense got here, Jennifer had to go into the kitchen and start preparing dinner.
Where was the cook?
Well, we have no servants, Inspector Thorne. We can't afford it. Just some part-time help.
Oh, and your wife does all the cooking?
Yes. Well, after she went into the kitchen, I went down to the game room in the basement. Practiced some billiard shots.
And when Hortense Tremont left this house, where were you then?
I'd just come up to the dining room. I wanted a drink.
Mm-hmm. Did you see anyone else at that time? Your father-in-law, your aunt's ex-social secretary, Wendy Stevens?
No, I just finished my drink and went back to the game room. And that's my story, Inspector Thorne.
Will you come with me to the dining room, Mr. Reynolds?
Sure. But may I ask why?
I'd just like to check a few points in your story.
Right down here, Inspector Thorne. What points?
Now, you'll see when we're in the dining room.
Well, here we are, Inspector Thorne. Check away.
First, I want to find out if you can see the back path from this dining room window.
Well, can you?
Oh. Yes, you were accurate on that point, Mr. Reynolds. Now, I'd just like to see the decanter from which you took a drink.
There it is on the sideboard.
This one?
Yes.
Well, that's very interesting. You say you took a drink from this?
Why, what's wrong?
Simply this, Ted Reynolds. This decanter is completely full.
Well, but it can't be, unless someone filled it or... Oh, I know what must have happened, Inspector Thorne. Someone moved the decanters around. Put a full one out there and put the other one away.
Why would anyone do that?
Well, I don't know. To frame me, maybe.
Inspector Thorne, can I see you a minute?
Yeah, I'll be right with you, Sergeant Muggan. I'll speak to you again later, Reynolds.
It's all a mistake. You'll see.
Come down this way, Muggan. Now, what is it you want to tell me?
We found the jewelry, Chief. The pieces that were missing from the murdered woman's safe.
Where were they, Muggan?
Hidden away among the belongings of her niece, Jennifer Reynolds.
Inspector Thorne in the Empty Ashtray Murder Case will return in just a moment. But first, it's the Silver Jubilee on NBC. I'd like to take a moment to give you a brief advance schedule of the great shows that you'll soon be hearing on NBC during this fall season. First, on September 30th, the big news is about the big show. 90 minutes of the greatest acts in show business returns to NBC with your unpredictable hostess, Miss Tallulah Bankhead. The first broadcast of the big show will feature such stars as Fred Allen, Sir Laurence Olivier, Vivian Leigh, Joan Fontaine, George Saunders, and Beatrice Lilly. September 30th is a date to note because it means that the big show is back on NBC for another star-filled season of great radio entertainment. Then on October 2nd, two great comedy shows return to the air, Fibber McGee and Molly and Bob Hope. The McGee closet is still as overflowing as ever, but Fibber has been able to find his way through the debris and find his joke book, so he's all ready for another fun-filled season. And Bob Hope? Well, he's always ready to ad-lib, so you can settle back and await the laughs as October 2nd brings you two of radio's most important comic half-hours. And on October 3rd, Groucho Marx is back on NBC and spreading joy all over the place. Make a program note to hear The Big Show beginning on Sunday, September 30th. Then there's Fibber McGee and Molly and The Bob Hope Show on October 2nd. And Groucho Marx returns on October 3rd. Yes, for radio entertainment at its best, keep tuned to this, your NBC station. Now, back to Inspector Thorne and the Empty Ashtray Murder Case. Investigating the murder of wealthy spinster Hortense Tremont, Inspector Thorne is convinced that she was killed inside the estate in which her family lives, although her body was found on the path outside. In the house at the time were her brother, Barrett Tremont, who believes that she stole his inheritance from him, her niece, Jennifer, and Jennifer's husband, Ted Reynolds, who will inherit half her fortune, and Wendy Stevens, Hortense Tremont's ex-social secretary. Inspector Thorne has just learned that the jewelry missing from the wall safe, which Hortense Tremont was checking at the time of her murder, has been found hidden away among the belongings of Hortense's niece, Jennifer. Now we see Inspector Thorne confronting Jennifer in her room and saying,
"This jewelry was found hidden away in your closet, Jennifer Reynolds."
I tell you, I know nothing about it, Inspector Thorne. Nothing at all.
Then how did it get there?
Someone else must have put it there. Either because they thought it was a good hiding place, or...
Or to frame you, Jennifer?
Yes.
I might believe you if we hadn't found the jewelry wrapped in newspaper that was dated 3 days ago.
3 days ago?
In 3 days, you certainly would have come across at least one of the pieces of jewelry when you were getting clothes out of your closet.
Nothing you say can change the truth. I didn't steal that jewelry.
Then why did you try to keep my men from searching your room?
I didn't feel well, Inspector Thorne. After all, Hortense Tremont was my aunt. I was trying to rest.
Did you see your aunt before she left the house?
No. No, I was in the kitchen starting dinner. I heard the door slam.
When was that?
About an hour after she arrived. Around 5 o'clock, I'd say. Then I saw her walking down the path.
Was there anyone with her?
No.
Was there anyone with you at the time?
No.
You're not being very helpful, Jennifer.
I can only tell you what I know.
Inspector Thorne.
What are you doing here, Ted Reynolds?
I'm sorry about breaking in like this, but I can't let you accuse my wife.
Ted, darling, it's all right.
That's very noble of you, Ted, but unless you have a confession to make...
I do have a confession, Inspector Thorne.
Ted, what are you saying?
There's something you should know. It's about Wendy Stevens.
What about Wendy Stevens?
Jennifer's Aunt Hortense discharged Wendy for forging a check.
Ted, we promised Wendy we wouldn't tell anyone.
This is no time for secrets, Jennifer.
You're right, Ted. What was the amount of this check?
$5,000.
And Hortense Tremont discovered this?
As soon as the check came back through the bank. Hortense happened to open the mail that day.
I see. I'm glad you had sense enough to tell me this, Ted. Will you find Sergeant Muggett and tell him to bring Wendy Stevens here?
Sure thing, Inspector Thorne.
I'm sure Wendy had nothing to do with the murder. She's a very sweet girl.
I never considered forging a sign of sweetness, Jennifer.
Anyone can make a mistake.
And then make another mistake trying to cancel out the first one?
Oh, no.
I see you're quite an athlete, Jennifer. These silver loving cups here.
I happen to be good at swimming.
Well, swimming is a strenuous sport for those who devote much time to it.
Chief, I got Wendy Stevens here.
Bring her in, Muggin.
I thought we had our little talk, Inspector Thorne.
Now, there are a few things you forgot to tell me. First, that Hortense Tremont fired you for forging a $5,000 check in her name.
Jennifer, you promised not to tell.
I'm sorry, Wendy.
Why did you need all that money?
Why does anybody need money? There were things I wanted to buy. Nice clothes, for once. Not these bargain basement markdowns.
And you consider that important enough to steal? Tell the truth, Wendy. Why did you want the money?
I already told you, Inspector Thorne.
What happened when Hortense Tremont discovered the forged check?
Just some more of my bad luck. Every other day, I'd open the mail. But this one day, she had to. She was furious.
But she let you go without preferring charges.
I convinced her I'd pay back the money.
Had you spent all of the $5,000?
Yes, Inspector Thorne, but I told her I'd pay it back, and I have been.
I thought you had no job, Wendy.
My family's been sending me money. I gave most of it to her.
You've given yourself a very strong motive for murder, Wendy Stevens. Sergeant Muggan, I think we'll leave the murder house for now. You've got work to do.
Right with you, Chief.
I want reports on all four of our suspects, Muggan. Barrett Tremont, Jennifer and Ted Reynolds, and Wendy Stevens.
What a bunch.
Muggan, four people. Four people who were in four different rooms of the house. Swear that they saw Hortense Tremont walk out of here alive about an hour after she came in.
That's right.
But the evidence given by an empty ashtray proves that Hortense Tremont was murdered a few minutes after she entered the library.
I see what you mean, Chief.
The evidence on her body outside proves that she was not murdered on the spot where we found her. But then how did she get there, Muggan? And more important, how did four people see her walk out of this house at a time when I'm certain she was already dead?
Well, don't tell me we got to start believing in ghosts, Chief.
Well, Muggan, we either have a case where four people connived in one murder, or...
Or what, Chief?
I think I may have the answer, Muggan.
For a cop who's always saying he's dumb, you sure managed to break some tough cases.
I hope so, Muggan. Well, after I see the reports on our four suspects tomorrow, we may be coming back here to the murder house to pick up a killer.
And as soon as Inspector Thorne and Sergeant Muggan leave the murder house, we see Barrett Tremont walk into his daughter Jennifer's bedroom
and we hear him say to her,
"It's all right, Jennifer. I wanted you to know you can trust me."
"Dad, what do you mean?"
"You don't have to pretend with me, my dear. I found the safe open after Hortense left. I'm the one who closed it."
"Are you accusing me?"
"I told you it's all right."
"No. No, it isn't all right. Someone is trying to frame me for Aunt Hortense's murder, and I don't know of anyone who hated her as much as you did."
"Jennifer, you don't think I'd frame my own daughter."
"I think you'd do anything for money. You're obsessed by it."
"I hear Ted coming. I'll talk to you later, Jennifer."
Now it is 10 o'clock the next morning, and we see Inspector Thorne entering the murder house, the estate of the victim, wealthy spinster Hortense Tremont. And as Sergeant Muggan opens the door, we hear Inspector Thorne say,
"Those reports were fine, Muggan. Gave me just the information I needed."
"They're all in the library, Chief. All four of them. The brother, Barrett Tremont, the niece, Jennifer, her husband, Ted Reynolds, and the ex-social secretary and forger, Wendy Stevens."
"Well, I see you're all here.
We had little choice in the matter, Inspector Thorne."
"Your sister Hortense had no choice at all when it came to being murdered."
"Just what kind of a police force do we have, Inspector Thorne? I thought by this time you'd know the murderer."
"I do."
"What?
You do? All four of you had motives. Don't bother denying it. It's too late for that."
"Are you trying to say that all four of us killed her?"
"Well, that did enter my mind, yes. Because all four of you swore you had seen Hortense Tremont leave this house at a time when I knew she was already dead." "Yes. Hortense Tremont was killed in this house, in this library, shortly after she entered it. And then she was carried out of the house to the spot where her body was found."
"Well, that lets me out. Hortense was much too heavy for me to carry."
"Me too."
"Yes, you're both right on that, Barrett Tremont and Wendy Stevens. Neither of you could have carried the murdered woman's body."
"Does that mean you suspect me or my husband, Ted, Inspector Thorne?"
"You're an athlete, Jennifer. You'd have the strength to carry your aunt, and obviously your husband, Ted, could have managed it with no difficulty."
"You can't prove anything, Inspector Thorne."
"I haven't finished, Ted. Since Hortense Tremont was dead at the time all four of you say you saw her leave the house, that means that someone did walk out of the house at that time wearing the murdered woman's hat and coat."
"That's ridiculous. We would have known."
"None of you saw her face, just her back from a distance. Hortense Tremont was a short woman. And that means that either you, Wendy Stevens, or her brother Barrett were wearing that coat and hat."
"Me? Why, that's absurd."
"Men have impersonated women before this, Mr. Tremont. Once I realized just what had happened, I also knew that two people planned this murder, one strong enough to carry out the body, the other short enough to wear her clothes. And once I knew that, it wasn't hard to settle on the murderers. Who would know the combination of Hortense Tremont's safe?"
"I should have told you this before, Inspector Thorne. After Hortense left, I found the safe open, and I closed it. Anyone could have gotten into it."
"Father."
"The safe was robbed 3 days before the murder, Mr. Tremont. And your sister would never have told you or any of the family the combination. But her social secretary would be bound to know it."
"That's a lie."
"You no longer had the $5,000 when the murdered woman discovered that you'd forged a check in her name, Wendy Stevens. But you didn't spend that money on clothes."
"I did. I tell you, I did."
"My men found no expensive clothes in your apartment, Wendy. But they did discover that Ted Reynolds had gambling debts amounting to $5,000, which he paid up right after you forged that check."
"I can pay my own gambling debt, Inspector Thorne."
"No, you can't, Ted Reynolds. You may call yourself a stockbroker, but you haven't been in your office in months. You don't even have one client."
"Why, this is utterly absurd, every word of it."
"Of course it is, Inspector Thorne. Why would my husband Ted kill Aunt Hortense? And why would Wendy help him? She could gain nothing by it."
"She could, Jennifer. If you were successfully framed for the murder, then she and Ted could get married and enjoy your share of the inheritance."
Oh, I can't believe that, Inspector Thorne. Why, if Ted was trying to frame me, why would he want to divert suspicion from me by telling you the truth about Wendy forging the check?" "Ted! You told Inspector Thorne?"
"That's right, Wendy. He wanted to put suspicion on you."
"Wendy, that's not so."
"Oh, isn't it, Ted Reynolds? Do you think I'm fool enough to go to the chair for a murder that you committed?"
"Wendy, I knew the cops would find out about the forged check. I told them so they'd never suspect there was anything between us."
"Ted, is that the truth?"
"Even if it is the truth, Wendy, it doesn't make any difference to you now. You've already admitted your guilt, both of you. Sergeant Muggan, take them down to the station."
"How do I book them, Chief?"
"Book Ted Reynolds for murder, and Wendy Stevens as an accessory to murder.
I never thought you'd see through our scheme, Thorne.
We were all set to confuse a poor, dumb cop, weren't you, Reynolds? But believe me, there's nobody as dumb as a murderer.
And so ends the Empty Ashtray Murder Case. The part of Inspector Thorne is played by Stotz Cotsworth. Direction by Edward Slattery. The script was written by Geraldine Merkin, based on the original story by Frank and Ann Hummert. This is Fred Collins inviting you to tune in again next Thursday at this same time when the National Broadcasting Company will present Inspector Thorne in the Society Writer Murder Case.
Hi, this is Andrew from OTRWesterns.com. I wanted to invite you to come take a look at our site where we put out podcasts of old-time radio westerns. Check us out at OTRWesterns.com. You're listening to The Great Detectives of Old Time Radio with Adam Graham. Now let's get back into the show.
Welcome back. Poor Inspector Thorne. He has a sergeant who needs instructed as to how to handle a simple murder arrest. Whoa, we're arresting two people? What exact charges am I supposed to make here? I need you to tell me. I can't figure this out. I thought Inspector Thorne was the one who went around pretending to be dumb. I will say that on this episode, the opening scene was probably less relevant than any opening scene we've heard. Usually we get to meet the characters, see a lot of their relationship, and get a foreshadowing of who is going to get murdered. Here we just heard the murder because apparently Inspector Thorne can't just show up without us first hearing the murder. At any rate, I do have a show announcement. Now we are doing The Lone Wolf in 2 weeks. But that's not going to last long. We only have 2 weeks of programs. And what's coming after that? Well, tentatively, we are looking at a revisit of a series we have not played in years, but for which some episodes that weren't available at the time I played it were. What series will that be? You'll have to find out in a couple of weeks. This is just a teaser, but in 4 weeks, we're planning on a revisit to a series we haven't done in years, so be sure and listen then. All right, that will do it for now. Join us back here tomorrow for Richard Diamond. And next Tuesday, it's our last episode of Inspector Thorne. In the meantime, send your comments to box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives and become one of our friends on Facebook. Facebook.com/Radio Detectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.